If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. Obviously, this is one of our favorites as well, our book feature. And today we have journalist and public speaker Karabo Kgoleng to review a few of her favorites at the moment. Karabo, thank you so much for being with us. Karabo, I think you're muted. Hello. We can hear you now. Welcome, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Pimelon. Good evening to everyone.
Okay, let's have a look at the books that you've put forward for us that you are currently reading or have already read. Let's go through what's your favorite at the moment from this list?
Oh,
okay.
I'm so loath to answer that question.
I know. Okay. I'll take it back because I know exactly what you're thinking right now. Like, yo, they're going to say, I chose this one over mine. It's okay. So, Journey Gwandu has been for the longest time a podcast. Yes. And it was quite popular for some time. And I was so thrilled that finally it became a book. Talk to me about what actually is in the book.
All right. So Vusumzi Nqande's book, Journey Gwandu, is inspired by this podcast. And it basically seeks to answer questions around African spirituality, looking at it from a historical perspective, how it came to be demonized. But he also takes us through his own journey, navigating through finding a spiritual home for himself, with himself and with the world around him as an African, right? So he begins from his experience of spirituality and communion with God through the experiences of being raised by his mother, who's a very devout church-going woman. Mm. And how he launches it for me is when he started to think about his relationship with Christianity. Mm. And he takes us through how he went on to leave the church because he found some core fundamental kind of conflicts between how he experienced Christianity, his history for him as an African person, and issues around that. Mm. And one of the questions that I found really jarring, that hit me, was he's very sympathetic towards Christianity. So it's not an anti-Christian book, but it's more a book by a seeker. Mm. And when he questions the issue of the patriarchal foundations of Abrahamic religions, which is Christianity, Judaism, Islam, looking particularly at Christianity, he asks, in what kind of world would you have a man, being Jesus, who would die for a black woman? Hmm. So he's basically looking at the history of how black women have been oppressed, yet they also use Christianity to try and cope with that oppression and to find some succor, you know, through Christianity. And then he also looks at some of the syncretic African practices that are incorporated into black church, mm. right? In terms of people getting possessed by the spirit, mm. When, you know, they faint. And he looks into ideas about how maybe some of them could have had an ancestral calling, but because of the Witchcraft Act and African spirituality being demonized and even criminalized, that a lot of people, a lot of Africans had to kind of subvert that and incorporate it into their Christian practices. Mm. And he notices how, for example, when some of the women in the church would get taken up by the spirit, the same ways in which somebody who hasn't been initiated yet is taken up by Iklozi, the way that they'd bring that person back would be exactly the same. Mm. And there didn't seem to be a conflict within the church around that for him. Mm. So he goes on to looking at the history of the religions that we've inherited as South Africans, which is Christianity for the most part, looking at religion, power, and the scapegoating of women, mm. In terms of how they are not allowed to have positions of authority, though they keep the churches going. Mm. And when something goes wrong, they're also put to blame. But it comes back to asking, looking at what he terms a millennial moment, which is a moment in time or a moment in history. And he breaks up his understanding in terms of every 200 years of when there are major upheavals and global events that cause humanity to go into a kind of crisis of meaning. And we experienced that particularly recently with the pandemic and the lockdowns. There was a lot of resurgence of people, you know, choosing to prioritize their spiritual well-being. And also when there are times of, you know, great wars and economic uncertainty and all of that with the pandemic, etc., that sometimes you have these seismic shifts during the course of human history that cause or that lead people to seek or a resurgence of a pursuit of a new spiritual kind of understanding and awakening. He also questions the idea of culture. And he quotes a Gogo that he'd also had on his podcast. I think it's Gogo Obrimashikli, who says that culture is an idea. And he looks at how he explores how culture is a practice that is done for the purpose of social cohesion and control and order. But then spirituality and religion comes and turns it into a matter of divine decree. And he looks at the validity of that. So he takes you on a journey of his own exploration. So his book is not prescriptive. Mm-hmm. It's more his looking at the history and reading it and recounting it. Look at the issue, for example, of how Christianity was also weaponized during the apartheid regime, particularly by the Afrikaner people, and joining that with the land and the idea of South Africa being a kind of chosen land and how you cannot separate spirituality from the land. So it's a fascinating read. Lots and lots of amazing questions. And I think he navigates what is really fraught terrain with a lot of sensitivity and wisdom and thoughtfulness.
No, looking forward to that read. There's Before the Coffee Gets Cold.
Yes. Now, you know, being who we are, we don't have passport privilege and it's expensive to travel nowadays, you know? So I love to read books that allow me to expatriate myself and to travel to another country to experience another culture. And that's what I love about literature. And this one is and also I like a little bit of magic as well, especially, you know, in literature and fiction, because as human beings, we seek meaning and that's why we like to tell stories, right? Yeah. And this was a wildly successful Japanese bestseller by Toshikazu Kawaguchi. And it's about this coffee shop on a side street in Tokyo where there's a little bit of magic that takes place in terms of you can go and visit that coffee shop if somebody close to you has passed away and you want to have an opportunity to go and maybe tie up some loose ends with them. And you get to participate in this ritual where you drink the coffee and then you get to go back in time and reconnect with your loved one. And you have to come back before the coffee gets cold, right? So the cast of characters, there's a ghostly lady who's part of the magic trip that you take. And among the cast, you've got a detective who works at a police station and he bought his wife a birthday present but never gotten around to give it to her because she got caught up in a crime and she was killed. So he wants to go back in time and give her that present.
Oh, that's
there's another one. I know, right?
Yeah, it's lovely.
And then there's another one about, you know, a woman who was hospitalized with cancer. And she never told her partner about it. And she didn't want to worry him. But then her condition worsened and then she died. Not her partner, her son.
Yes.
So now her son is trying to, you know, go to the past to go and find out what really happened with his mom. You know, so it's all these intimate relationships where you didn't get to say goodbye, yeah. But you have an opportunity by visiting this magical coffee shop,
yeah.
Sip this coffee, go back in time and see if you can have that kind of closure.
Oh, sounds delightful.
So the beauty about it, I mean, in terms of the lesson that I drew from this book is that we shouldn't take it for granted to let the people that we love know that we love them.
Absolutely.
Because you never know when their time is up, when your time is up.
Yeah.
So don't put until tomorrow telling the people that you love, you know, that you love them. And yeah, it's a beautiful short book, but intensely lyrical and poetic in only, you know, a particularly Japanese style. So yeah, it's a lovely book.
We're going to end it with the next one because we've run out of time, and we'll come back to it again when we have our conversation. One of my favorite authors, Nahama Brody, has come up with another one, Domestic Terror. Talk to me about this Domestic Terror.
Oh, it is devastating, but so important. So Nahama's scholarship is on femicide. That was her PhD, and it turned into a book by the same title. Here she goes back. She looks at the history of intimate partner violence, not just in South Africa, but globally. And how she opens this book is with a series of newspaper articles that go back as far as just over 100 years ago in South Africa, where those newspaper articles tell the story of a woman who has been murdered by her intimate partner. Mm. And how she frames it over and over again is that our society needs to be careful, and we need to stop seeing these crimes as just crimes of passion. Mm. That love is not something that leads to murder. That this is not love. It's something else. It's about control. It's about you know, problematic ideas about ownership. And again, going back to misguided notions and cultures that frame women as property, which also go back to the laws that we've inherited. And even though the laws have changed, attitudes take even longer, and you can't legislate against attitudes. Mm-hmm. You know, so she gives a history, a devastating history of intimate partner violence in South Africa, and she also frames it from a cultural and religious and legal perspective. And she looks at she tries to explore how we can start to change the attitudes that inform how we've normalized this devastating aspect of what it means to be human, because it's a global thing. You know, I think what makes us feel exceptional as South Africans, and this is why it's important that we have, you know, a free media, is that we report on these cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a lot of countries, this simply doesn't happen.
Yeah. Listen, thank you so much for this list, Karabo, and then we'll catch up soon so that we'll go through the rest of the other recommendations. But really, really appreciate it. We'll also put this up on our social media platforms. Thank you, Karabo Kholeng.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.